It's been a long time since I've been able to have a Sunday Mass at Mount St. Michael, and so there's probably a lot of parishioners who may not know me. I'm Father Gerard McKee, and I've been a member of CMRI since 1973, although my ordination was delayed until 1991 when I was ordained by Bishop Moises Carmona in Hermosillo, Sonora, because at the time there was no other bishop helping us. All the ones that had been helping us in previous years had decided no longer to be of assistance to us. Since I was ordained, I was helping first with the bishop's classes in Latin and some others in Omaha, and then in 1991, I believe it was, or no, 1993, I went to London, Ontario for about 3 years, and then I was pastor of Our Lady, or rather of Sacred Heart of Jesus Parish in Akron, Ohio for the grand total of 1 month, although I had been a visiting missionary for the previous year, alternating with a couple of other priests. And then after that time, I was needed back here at Mount St. Michael, and so I returned to Mount St. Michael and helped with the confessions and sick calls until about the year 2000, when I was assigned to, or 2001, I was assigned to help as pastor at St. Mary's in Tacoma. But in that about 10-year period, I was doing a lot of commuting the last 4 or 5 years to Tacoma, and before that, doing mission circuits, mostly in Montana, and also foreign missions to the South Pacific to cover in New Zealand and Australia and even the Fiji Islands once a year. And then in 2004, I was assigned to the parish in San Diego and near Los Angeles, but had to commute back to help with the confessions and sick calls until 2010, when I was assigned to Our Lady of Most Holy Rosary Catholic Church in Middleville, Michigan. That's Western Michigan. And then also traveling every Sunday to have Mass in London, Ontario, until we had a new parish open up at St. Teresa in Lebanon, Ohio. And at that time, the drive from Middleville to the Cincinnati area would have been almost impossible for me. And so the bishop allowed me to go back to Southern California, where I've been since 2013, doing the missions for the parish in San Diego and near Los Angeles. And also since the time of COVID, starting to have Sunday Mass every Sunday in Tijuana, because I'm fluent in Spanish and can give the sermon and do confessions in Spanish as well as in English. And until just recently, when I came here to take care of things that I had stored up for a long time to reduce the amount of storage and also to help with this Sunday Mass, Saturday and Sunday Masses, since Father Casimir is in Southern California for Masses today. And then in addition to those regular assignments, you might say. I've been going about quarterly to Guadalajara to do the periodic confessions for the three religious communities. Although they're small, they're important, and they contribute much to the spiritual life of the church. The Carmelites being cloistered, those are like the powerhouses of the mystical body, and also the Daughters of Divine Providence, founded by Bishop Carmona about the same time I was ordained, take care of girls that don't have proper care to, during the days because of their parents working, and also some of the girls they've had as had the care of because they're basically orphans, and so they've been with the sisters since they were just very young, like before age one. And then also on behalf of Bishop Pivarunas, I've been traveling yearly to Argentina with the now there are two bishops there. They have a seminary, and I started visiting there in 1995 when the bishop went for the first time. I was there a few years ago when the church, which was founded in, or rather the cornerstone was laid 100 years to the day when the dedication took place by Bishop Morello from the southern part of Argentina, where he had a monastery, and he's passed away, but the monastery continues there. Again, those monks are the powerhouses of the church, but their prayer, work in prayer, although they're not Benedictines, they certainly have a lot of work to do, and they have, of course, their prayers. This year I canceled the trip to Argentina because I needed to come here, and so I have the opportunity to offer a couple of the masses on Sunday. In today's gospel, we have two further proofs of the divine power and infinite mercy of our Savior. All his miracles, apart from the primary purpose of proving his claim to be the promised Messiah and God's Son, had as their end and aim the benefit of suffering humanity. He worked no miracles for the sake of astonishing people or to satisfy idle curiosity. That's what King Herod wanted, but our Lord wouldn't even deign to say a word to him, to King Herod. Each miracle was performed in order to help someone in distress, and all those he helped by his miracles of mercy had one thing in common. They were moved by trust in his mercy and power. The leper in St. Matthew's Gospel expressed the sentiments of them all. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. In many cases, as for instance that of Jairus in this miracle in today's Gospel, it was a relative or friends that showed this faith and confidence, but it was always present, either in person and the person benefited, or some relative or friend who asked for the miracle. The Gospels give us only some of the many miracles our Lord worked. They give enough to prove he was what he claimed to be, the Son of God and the heaven-sent Redeemer, and to prove also his compassionate understanding and sympathy for suffering humanity. And our Lord, in proving his divinity, fulfilled a great number, all the prophecies of the Old Testament. I think there are something like 60 or 70 that are contained in the Old Testament about the Messiah, and he fulfilled them all, which is an impossible feat to occur just by chance. We must remember that although great throngs followed our Lord and listened to his message and were interested in his mission, there were greater numbers still who remained at home, indifferent. They heard rumors of the teacher from Nazareth who was claiming to be the Messiah and was supposed to be able to work miracles, but they were too worldly wise to listen to such rumors. Anyway, they had no interest in the Messiah or spiritual things. They were fully occupied with their worldly interests. And the world has not changed much in the past 20 centuries. How many millions of nominal Christians ignore Christ and his message today? And millions who are spiritually sick and dying, but who have not the faith and confidence to cast themselves at the feet of Jesus and ask him to cure them. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If they would only repeat the leper's prayer, if only they could, like the suffering woman in today's gospel, break through the throng of worldly interests and worldly associates and touch the hem of his cloak. If only they had the faith of Jairus, and dead with sin though they be, if only they could say, Lord, come and lay thy hand upon me, and my soul will return to life, how fortunate they would be. Today, let us say a fervent prayer that those brethren of ours, whether we know them or whether they're our brethren in the human race, who are spiritually ill and at the point of death, may get the grace to turn to the divine physician, the divine healer of souls, before it is too late. And for ourselves, let us thank from our heart the good and merciful God who sent his Son to earth to heal our maladies and raise our souls from the death of sin. Let us ask him to strengthen our faith and our confidence in our Redeemer, so that we may always press through the throngs of worldly distractions and temptations to get near to him and stay near him, the physician and savior of our souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.